It is time for the Berkshire Edge on air here on Robinhood Radio, a time where we get together and we just talk just a few of the stories that you'll find at theberkshireedge.com 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And if I've done everything right, we've got Marcy and David with us. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Yes.
Good morning.
I've done everything right.
We are worldwide today.
Well, you know, with Tim Luke and Greg Straub, the appraisal guys, I'm always getting them at different locations, okay? And this is the first time where we're doing the Berkshire Edge in two different locations, actually three when you add Robinhood Radio.
But how about you? You're in Sharon. I'm in Great Barrington, and Marcy's in New York.
That is quite a triangle.
Greetings from the Big Apple.
Okay. All right. Well, let us get into some of the stories that, like I said, we just touched on a few of the stories that you'll find at theberkshireedge.com.
Yes. In fact, there are a few that David left off the list, so I want to make sure I can tell you at the end of the conversation about a few more stories I'd like people to know about.
Okay. We'll start off with Lee voters asking selectmen to have the town leave the PCB agreement with the EPA and GE. Let's talk a little bit about that.
This is an issue that has been going on for many, many years. And the town of Lee is one of the towns along the river that is part of the rest of what is called, kind of euphemistically, the rest of the river agreement with General Electric that was to clean the PCBs, remaining PCBs that are in the riverbed and on the river banks, to clean them up, and that is remove them. And PCBs having been dumped into the river in Pittsfield. Yeah, by the General Electric Company. And this massive agreement that was worked out, 20 years ago with General Electric to pay for the cleanup. So this is the problem is, what do you do with the PCBs that have been removed from the riverbanks and the riverbed? And one of the agreements that was worked out at the time was for there to be a dump in Lee that would be which is now the voters there have said, no, wait a minute. This may have been 20 years ago, but we don't like it.
It's a massive dump of PCBs that will inevitably leak. As far as I know, David knows the situation better, but no one has been able to prove that this dump will not leak. Apparently, the way it's going to be built, it's sure to leak, and it will leak into the water supply of the town of Lee or into the groundwater or back into the river. And so the voters in Lee are saying no, and the elections in Lee over the last several years have all sort of revolved around candidates who are agreeing to fight the dump. And once again, this election, they're fighting the dump. I mean, they kicked out two other people, and they've elected a new select person who has agreed to fight the dump. But the question is whether they can fight the dump. I mean, one of the people who was running, because we had some letters to the editor, but one of the people who was running, tried to explain that there is actually no legal way to fight this dump. So the voters in Lee are trying, expressing their great concern for the dump and keep electing people who will fight the dump, but it's not clear that there's any legal way to fight the dump.
right.
Or if they have the resources, the money in the town of Lee, to actually, you know, to fight this. So it's a terrible situation they're in.
All right, let's move
on.
Is that
right, David?
That's roughly
David?
Right. It's this issue that will not go away.
Right. Well, speaking about not going away, let's go to COVID because it's transformational the way it's being dealt with now and the way it's looked at now. But you've got the latest from the Tri-Town Health Department on COVID in Berkshire County.
Yeah, we have these periodic. The Tri-Town Health Department, which is in southern Berkshire County, issues periodic updates. And so we, of course, publish those. These are the latest tally and of what is where we are with this disease and its spread in the Berkshires. They're saying that we're in Berkshire County is now classified as a high red level over the last month. So, in any case, we're not alone.
No, you're not.
Surrounding counties are also in this position,
and most of Connecticut is in that same position as well.
Yeah,
Vermont as well.
Yeah.
This seems to be raging mostly in New England.
Well, it's just something that we're all aware of now, and we all follow it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Just like what you said before, there's no correct answer for this right now. There just isn't.
No, it isn't. It is.
No.
But I think people probably are tired of hearing about it. But it is something that we should have to keep in mind.
Yeah.
And it does, it does affect the way we must kind of react publicly with people in order to have this pandemic disappear.
It's a question of your own individual responsibility now. It really
yeah.
is.
As an
individual.
Well, and also, I mean, the Tri-Town report shows the difference made by wearing a mask. They say a cloth mask gives you 56% lower chance, but if you wear an N95, it gives you 83% lower risk of getting COVID. So they really want you to wear N95s, even those blue surgical masks.
Yeah.
Only give you 66%, but the N90s and cloth masks, only give you 56%, but the N95 give you 83% protection.
All right, you've got a story coming. So, you've got a story that I think is going to be a long-range story and going to be an interesting story to follow, and that's the regional school planners, the merging of the South Berkshire districts into one. With public hearing coming up, this is something that's going to be step by step by step. It's going to be very interesting to follow.
Well, as the impetus behind this is that there are two Southern Berkshire school districts. One that they cluster regional towns. There's one in Great Barrington, which is Berkshire Hills, and then there's the Southern Berkshire Regional School District, which is just south of Great Barrington, along the Connecticut border. And the problem is that the Southern Berkshire District has had fewer and fewer students, and so it's becoming difficult to justify a whole separate school system that is built with a high school and elementary schools were built for, many more students. And is it becoming, not only economically, but educationally kind of unviable, That's the issue. So it has been one that's, been, people don't, of course, want to give up their regional school district, for sentimental and practical reasons, they don't want to have to drive kids north to Great Barrington. But just the same, it's becoming, as I say, economically unviable for those towns. And educationally, too.
Yeah. So, I mean, they can't, you know, with the number of students that they have, they can't have special AP courses. You know, they can't justify additional courses, which, you know, make the schools better because there just aren't enough kids to pay for them.
Yeah.
So there is this ongoing conversation about merging the two schools, and there's controversy all around it.
It's interesting.
It looks like going forward.
It's interesting because we've got a school district that is all merged and everything like that. But the interesting thing about it is there's so many. It's not just an educational merge. There are so many fiduciary, legal. There's so many hurdles that are going to have to be completed.
Yes.
And then once those hurdles are completed, then it's going to go before voters this is going to be quite a hard process.
Yeah. Yes, it is. I mean,
it is.
The voters. You know, people are loyal to their local teams.
Yeah.
I mean, that's part of it. You know, they've got their high school teams that they've all, you know, they grew up in these towns, they went to these schools, they've been rooting for these teams their entire lives. And also, you know, depending on where you live in these districts, you may have a very long commute, or your kids may have a very long commute. So it's difficult.
Right. And, you know, some of the southern Berkshire towns would have to, you know, have quite a long commute for their for those kids, you know, to come up to Great Barrington.
Yeah.
Well, that's what it is here. The farthest away town here is in our district is Kent. And those students on the Kent school bus that take the bus, it is almost a 45-minute ride one way.
Yeah.
I mean,
and that's in the morning, and then in the afternoon they have to do the same thing returning, you know.
And what they did here, which is different what you have in South County with these two districts, is each town retained its own elementary school. So each town retains a separate board of education, which controls the local school, and then there's a regional school district. It's a very complicated setup, but it's going to take a while for this to set up, and it's going to be interesting to see how it evolves and how the public gets to put input into this plan.
It is, and we'll be following this, and we'll no doubt be talking to you about it many times in the future. But it's been a contentious and difficult. It's also, you know, a reminder to people of how the population of younger families has been disappearing from the South County, too.
Well, just go back to your stories. Remember, was it a couple of years ago with the closing of the small schoolhouses?
Right.
Yeah.
For example.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean,
that's right. The little single room or, anyways, that.
And,
yes,
you know, it's
were,
all
they
tied
were
up with
really old-fashioned.
Kids loved them. It's all tied up into the cost of housing.
Yeah.
Because, we're selling lots of houses in the Berkshires, but they're unaffordable for families with children.
Yeah, it's all tied together in one big package, and you know what? It's not tied together very neatly. That's all you can say.
No,
you can untangle.
And it's hard to see exactly where this is going to go.
Yeah.
It's really unfortunate, but it is what it is.
All right, let's go on to Dr. Peter Gray speaking about education.
Oh yes. This is very interesting.
Go ahead, Marcy.
Well. There is a man named Dr. Peter Gray, who is an educator, who is going to be speaking in Dalton, and we have all the information about when he's going to speak. But he is he has done a lot of work on understanding how kids learn, And our writer tells the story of one mother who noticed that her kid, you know, was becoming impossible at home. I mean, he was everything was a battle. He was trying to get control over his life, and so the kid, who was 5 years old, who was fighting his mother at every step about when to go to bed, when to eat, et cetera. And she realized, especially talking with Dr. Peter Gray, that the problem was the way he was being treated in class. The kid felt that he was losing control over his life. And so where he could, because he was being so tightly controlled in his classroom, where he could exert some control, which was at home, he was exerting control, in an impossible fashion. So this is an interesting conversation. Dr. Peter Gray is going to be speaking. giving a talk called Children's Natural Way of Learning on Thursday, May 19th, which is tomorrow in Dalton. Go ahead. David?
We seem to have lost David.
Hello?
Yeah, we seem to have lost David.
Oh, no. Can you call him back?
I got to remember
I'm back.
There he is.
You know what it was? The phone, I accidentally put the mute button on.
Okay.
Sorry about that, guys. Well, I remember, this educational debate has been going on for many years, because I remember having a child in elementary school where the debate was how kids learn. And that's what fundamentally this whole talk is going to be. It's about how kids...
It's going to be about the importance of freedom in the learning process, right?
Right. It's been a debate ever since Somerville or in England. There was a movement that kids learn can learn on their own in a way. So you give them a little bit more freedom. You give them educational materials, but they will find a way to learn on their own. Anyways, this is a debate that's been going on for many years.
All right.
So
what's very quickly stick in right now before we get to the story about Sheila Clary, the few stories that you want to talk about here, Marcy.
Oh, yes. Yeah. So should we talk about this one that David put on our list about...
Yeah.
The Railroad Street Youth Project.
Oh, yeah, go ahead.
The Railroad Street Youth Project is just, it's an amazing project that was started in 1999 to work with kids in Great Barrington who were, there were lots of kids that were succumbing to overdoses, accidents, suicides. And community members mobilized to do something about it. And so they founded, with help from the Berkshire Taconic Foundation and various other people, especially a man named Eric Bruin, who owns SoCo Creamery. They built a drop-in center on Railroad Street and started developing programs for kids who were hanging around downtown with nothing to do. They started this in 1999, so it's over 20 years old. It's a terrific project. I mean, they have their own building now on Bridge Street. They have a skate park where kids can play. But they also have wonderful programs, and they have a terrific director named Amanda Timpane, who's been in that position for 10 years. And, she herself
had been a dropout from high school.
Oh, had she?
Vanderroot, yeah. And her original name was Amanda Root, and she had been a dropout from high school. And she became engaged in trying to figure out how she and some of her friends could become avoid being just alienated from the educational system. And so she was one of the original founders of the Railroad Street Youth Project, which engages kids right. in not only education but in also social projects in Great Barrington and South County. It's really been enormously successful.
It has, and it's something that other communities can learn from too. So
yeah,
and they have a big culinary program where they you know, where they teach kids how to work in restaurants, I mean, how to cook, how to work in restaurants, you know, and they get them jobs. They've given sort of hundreds of local teens a taste of life in a professional kitchen. They have a dinner every year, you know, it's a public dinner where the kids prepare and serve food. It's really a wonderful program, so you can read more about it in this terrific article by Hannah Van Sickle in The Edge.
All right, we have about one minute left here.
Well, I just wanted to say, you know, we publish a magazine three times a year, which used to be called Berkshire's Calendar Magazine, but we have changed the name to Out and About with the Berkshire Edge, because the magazine is truly about getting out and about, and it's focused completely on places to go and things to do. And at the same time that we put out this magazine with very interesting articles, we put those same articles online in the magazine section of the Berkshire Edge. And so we have, last week we published as our May issue of the print magazine went into distribution. We also published three articles on the Edge. One of which is about Berkshire cottages then and now, you know, what the Berkshire cottages, I mean, which we're talking not cottages, but huge mansions that were built, you know,
so-called
in the Gilded
cottages.
Age, so-called right. cottages, which required, you know, 10 in staff and had acres and acres of gorgeous property. But many of them have been maintained as places that the public can visit. They are either spas or restaurants or many museums like Zentford Hall and the Mount and Chesterwood. So we have an article about what they were and what they are now to the Berkshires and what you can visit and what programs you can enjoy. We also have a wonderful article called Gardening in the 413 and Beyond, where we have a directory of all of the garden centers in the tri-state area. So if you are a gardener, and so many more people have become gardeners in the last couple of years, this is a directory of all the places in our area that sell plants and advise gardeners, and where you can go and, you know, learn more about how to garden in your own backyard. And then we have a third, every magazine has a day trip. And so our third day trip is our third article is a day trip to Rhinebeck, which is, you know, about an hour from Great Barrington. A wonderful town to visit with lots of things to do. And our writer, Andrew Blackman, went there with his teenage daughter, Lily. And the two of them had a great day and found all kinds of places to eat and all kinds of things that Lily enjoyed doing and things that her father enjoyed doing. So it's a place where parents can go with kids, and we show them how. And, it's a fun little town over on the Hudson River. So,
all right.
So you can pick up the magazine, or you can have the same resources online at the Edge.
All right, that is our conversation this morning from three different places. Guys, we'll speak to you next week.
Yeah. Okay, thank you.
Okay, we'll be in two places next week.
All right, guys, take care.
Okay,
bye. All right.
That is today's edition of the Berkshire Edge on Air, and you can find the Berkshire Edge at theberkshireedge.com.